There you go. There's Andrew. Hello, hello, Jaguar.
Hello, hi. How are you doing? Am I
Oh,
on? Yeah,
yep,
looking new.
you're on camera. Actually, that's something that you could ask that's being recorded on YouTube, because a lot of the ashram devotees watch and listen, and they may be able to answer your question. About the, your question was about the afternoon bhajan. There's a portion that you can't find the translation for anywhere at the very end of it. And so if anyone knows of the translation, here we go. Which
Yeah, it's the afternoon bhajan, Ranjit Ashram Nashik. And at the end of the bhajan, they all sing all together. And this part, all the rest of the bhajan, I've got it right, English and Sanskrit. But the last part, I don't have it. And this one is wonderful because everybody sing together. I would like to have the words in Sanskrit. If somebody knew it, I would appreciate very much.
there
Do
we
I
go.
give my email or?
They'll usually comment back and forth. That's what happens a lot of times, that the whoever's out there will comment and make comments or
I will
direct
check.
their own. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Namaste, John. Actually, there is no forgetting, right? It's only the awareness is thinking that it's forgetting.
Within the bubble of illusion.
Yeah, actually, there is no way that it can forget.
There's no forgetting and no remembering. I mean,
Yes.
remember, you, the you that you are totally outside of all this illusory world. Like
Yeah.
there's no relation to the formless and the form. This
Yes.
is why we talk about dream. In the dream consciousness, it's formlessly creating a so-called material world. And then there's appearance of activities and these sort of things. Even within the dream, you can say, oh, I'm sitting here in meditation and I can start to feel myself. But think about if you were to do that in the dream, then in reality, who is feeling whom? The body is a media, as Maharaj would say, to know yourself in a real sense. And so there's no forgetting, there's no remembering. We say forgetting your true identity simply because you're thinking that you're a body form and you're not. So when you know, I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body, then there's no faculty of thinking. And even the concept of awareness is simply that that points to you that does not know the sense of existence, that the sense of existence appears to. And then the sense of existence allows for the appearance of the dream world and little dream characters. And your identification with one of those dream characters. It's as if the entire universe is seen through your eyes and mistaking itself as something limited. But it never changes from being the universe. The appearance of limitation is just a concept that can be easily removed.
So the all appearances are like each of us are awareness plus thinking.
Well, mind, ego, intellect came along with the body. These are like functional organs of the body. The same as like heart pumping the blood and breath breathing. There's a flow of thoughts and there's a mind, ego, intellect because of association with a body form. But the space in the room, although it's utilizing a body and is utilizing the thinking process, is not thinking. awareness with nothing to be aware of, and then the sense of existence. Oh, I'm aware that I exist. Prior to the sense of existence, I did not know myself as anything. Now I appear as something, and I identify as the something, which is the first time I feel I exist. But in reality, I existed prior to the concept I exist. It's literally just space. That's why the entire universe, seeing through these eyes and mistaking itself that I'm a limited something, and I see other limited somethings. But it's just the entire universe seeing through different body forms from the perspective of a me and a you. And when you know yourself in a real sense that you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body, then the eyes of the universe are not having any local identification or any limitation imposed by your imaginary illusory concepts. The deer that sees the mirage and doesn't know it's mirage, very, very thirsty, runs to go and quench the thirst, but dives its nose into the sand. Now there is no doubt in that deer's mind that I am not going to quench my thirst in this sand. But up until that direct experience of the nose in the sand, there can be so many things thought about. All of which aren't true. That's why the snake and the rope. There's no need to get rid of the snake because it's just a rope. There was a little subtle twist with some fear that, oh, look at that, it's a snake. Then you turn the light, you investigate, oh, it's just a rope. But the rope never changed into a snake. The rope was never a snake. Rope is rope. It was only this concept, this snake is a rope. And when this was easily seen as not true, then it's no longer, now you're not fearing this.
It just
but
occurred
it never
to me.
Changed. Go ahead, Keith.
No, just even when the nose goes into the sand, though, that doesn't necessarily make you take your nose away from the sand.
Well, if you're wanting to quench your thirst and you dip your nose into the sand, it's an immediate experience that this is not water.
Yes.
When you know yourself in a real sense, it's an immediate experience that this world has nothing to do with myself. That I am not limited by anything, that birth and death are a concept that came along with the body, and I'm not body, so I can discard that. Spirituality is a concept that came along with the body. All the gods and goddesses came along with the body. I can discard all of that. And that's not saying like sacrilegious or anything like that. That's just the ultimate truth. God, Paramatman, Brahman, all of these are names for your selfless self, your invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity has all these labels.
But I personally keep sticking
there
my
is
head
no personal
stick like well sticking my head back in the sand.
In reality, no, you are not.
Yeah.
A lump of goo is
there
sticking
is no
its skin. Head in the sand, and you're saying I am sticking my head in the sand.
Yeah.
You, the you that you are, could not stick your head in the sand because the sand and the one sticking their head in is all within your own self.
Yeah, so identification doesn't really even exist, basically.
Well, that's the thing. We say, oh, I have to identify as not being this body. But that's where the snake and the rope comes in. The snake never, the rope never was a snake. It was a misconception.
Yeah.
And when you know in true, this is just a rope. It's not like, oh, I'm so wise now, I can see through the snake illusion to see the rope.
Yeah, yeah.
The rope was just a rope. And when you know yourself in a real sense, then why to figure out anything? That's why Maharaj says, remain with yourself with self. Don't go around, you know, people would come to the ashram and go and be a spiritual tourist and then go to see. There were a couple of devotees when I was there that they were like, oh, I'm going to go see Amanda Maya Ma or whatever. She passes out roses and gives hugs. Well, that's very lovely. But this is deep in the illusion.
Yes.
I'm going to go receive a loving hug from Amandamaya Ma or whoever she, the lady. I forget exactly how to say her name, but
Amrita,
how?
Amrita, Amrita,
Amruta
Amrita,
Ma. So, okay, so she is giving out hugs, but I have to be something to get a hug.
Nanmaya.
And therefore, I'm falling back into the illusion. Even though during the hug, it may be such a profound experience, the presence may shine through so strongly that I believe, oh, this hug is allowing me to merge with myself. This hug is removing the concept of this rope being a snake, yet the rope was a rope.
That's where Ramakant says, put your own hand on your own head.
And bless yourself, absolutely.
Yes.
And I also notice just right along that same lines, you're always telling me I depend on concepts too much, and I'm seeing that now. What you mean by that? Because, okay, I'm okay. She put your hand on your head, and you get an experience. I go through all these netty things, and then I get it bottoms out into the experience of not of freedom, and then but then I end up attrib kind of attributing the freedom to the activity of contemplation and
Yes.
objectification, and it just keeps going on and on.
Throw away the walker, as Maharaj says, stand on your own feet. It's exactly what he means. No support. Any support from the illusory world, of course, keeps you tied to the illusory world.
It's that momentum, yeah, momentum.
That's why my story about the beads, taking the
Oh.
beads off, having the food poisoning, and equating it that the concept has arisen that if I put these beads back on, the food poisoning, somehow my master was upset with me for taking the beads off, and how dare I insult God? And yet I spoke with Maharaj about that. Thank goodness that I was true in my spirituality, because otherwise maybe I would have hidden this. I would have been ashamed to say something, but I knew my master, Sri Ramakant Maharaj, was God or this formless presence in form, and all I had to do was, as he said, ask the question, work through it. And I did not put the beads back on. Otherwise, to this day, Red Rocks, long hair, beard, whatever, and walking around believing I'm a spiritual man. There's no, there's really nothing.
And instead of, I was going to ask, what would be the attitude to take when you feel like you're not in a sense of freedom? The answer would probably be mantra.
Remaining with yourself with self, yeah. I mean, by now, all of us should be able to just sit in one instant and tune in.
Yes.
Here's
I'm getting
myself.
to that point.
This is what they call the experience, self-realization, the knowing of your true nature, whatever you want to call it. This, it's right here. And now you're sort of training your attention to want this true nature, to want this selfless self, to want this presence more than anything out in the illusory world. It's the nectar of immortality, and you're sipping on it using this body form as a cup. And all of us, and all the YouTube people that listen to this channel on the YouTube and all this, you should by now be able to sit quietly and within moments just turn the attention. Oh, just I, just I. This is my true nature.
That's why I keep, I don't know if I comes over to the sound or not, but I tend to laugh under my breath a lot because of the irony of it.
Well, I mean, you spend some time with you. That is the best time you can spend. Just in any moment, boom, drop in. The attention goes to this subtle, subtle, just I, this sense of presence. As Nisargadatta Maharaj said, every moment I remained with this I am, this sense of presence, this sense of existence, this just I feeling. You train the attention to find this, especially when the illusory outside world seemingly is creating some kind of problem or circumstance that you know is not true. And that is for you all attention in this moment. And there you are. Oh. Mind was sitting over way out here chattering about this illusory problem, but now you're just remaining with yourself, with self. And maybe mind is still chattering. Yeah, I don't know, because I am just with myself. My attention can't go to my mind and myself. You know, the flow of thoughts and myself. They talk about serving two masters. I cannot use my attention to flow along with the thoughts in some illusory happening that's not existing, and at the same time remain with myself. With self is not possible.
Yeah, they don't
So
piss me off.
I just remain, just I, because after some time, even this presence goes, oh, whether presence is there or not, I am. And now I don't fear death because there's no such thing. Birth, how can birth happen? How can even the illusory world affect me? How can anything? Nothing. And now go do your job, do your duties, knowing that the entire world is appearing in your spontaneous presence. Whether presence is there or not, you are. Where all experience ends, there you are. The experience of the body is finished. There you are. And which body? You have to say. There's 30 people in a room, and 10 of them cease to exist, or cease, you know, their bodies are no longer able to sustain the essence. And the other 20 people see the 10 people, but that's only you. And it's all within you. Again, the easiest thing is a dream. If you had a dream that you were in a room and 10 people had passed away and there were 20 people left, when you wake up, you know nobody passed away, nobody was left. There was no birth, there was no death. There was a concept. Look at these 10 people who've passed. Hopefully, the rest of us are going to survive or be okay. But the rest of us is you. The ones that supposedly passed is you. And where did those body forms, their souls go? When you wake up, you're like, oh, there was no soul. There was just like formlessness animating form, and the concept that somehow this is real. It was impressed due to identification with one of the limited body forms within the dream. But now I've woken from my dream. It can't be true. When you know yourself in a real sense, what? How? It can't be true.
But the tricky part is recognizing it's nothing that is present. Nothing is present, really. Only
No,
nothing is.
forget, forget. The tricky part is to sit here and be able
Yeah.
to, maybe it's not instantaneous or spontaneous, but to sit here and let the attention, just a subtle, subtle sense of presence, just I. Very calming, spiritual intoxication. I'm sitting in meditation with myself. And now the meditator will dissolve within the meditation. And yet you are. The concentrator will dissolve within the concentration. And yet you are. Attention, holding attention. Awareness, holding awareness. And yet you are. And you don't have to stay like that because you are that. It's not like, wow, I just experienced myself. But now I have to go back to the world. I have a job to do. I am gonna, you know, I've got bills to pay and stuff. So, but I'm gonna drop in on myself every so often. But no matter what illusory experience is appearing, that's the ash. And an ash is only appearing to cover the fire. Remove the ash, fire is burning brightly. But fire is burning brightly, just like the eclipse. The moon came over the sun, it got dark, but the sun did not go anywhere.
Correct. Yes.
And it passed. And yet the sun didn't say, oh my goodness, I wasn't shining there for a while. Or when the eclipse came, oh, I wonder if I'll ever shine again. No. And yet we play all these imaginary games because of identification with the body form that we consider this form is so important for my existence. And yet you exist whether this body form is here or not. Whether this entire illusory world disappears, you are.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes, yes. Jai Guru.
Jai Guru.
Feel free to correct me, but I think maybe it was last week I referenced concerning when you sometimes you say that the mantra keeps running in the background. It occurred to me kind of today that it's not necessarily the words of the mantra that are running in the background, but this it's kind of like the source of the mantra or where the mantra makes it possible. For you to become aware of is what's always running in the background.
Remember again, mantra is a concept.
It's wordless. The background is wordless.
The body like a flute, the mantra, you're listening to the mantra running through the body naturally. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. This is the listening of the mantra without having to do mantra. And that's why Maharaj says the mantra will continue even in dream and in sleep, because it's just at first a deliberate action. And then after a while, as it's erasing slowly, silently, and permanently, the illusory concepts that you are something or somebody else. Just yourself. And again, remember, Maharaj has said, mantra is a concept. When you came along with this body, would you come along with mantra? Yes, this is, prior to being this, did you know about mantra? No. When you came along with the body, now you know about mantra. This can also be discarded. Remaining with presence can be discarded. After some time, I mean, you want to completely have your attention fixed on that sense of presence, knowing that the entire illusory world appears on presence. So now I don't have to pay so much attention to all the things that seemingly are crying for my attention. That's like the story of the Buddha by the tree, where the dancing girls came out and all these things were happening to try and get Buddha to notice, to come out from himself, so to speak, the story, all these dancing demons and all these sort of things. And he just remained with himself. And this is the same. If no matter what is happening outside, You know, the most important is your own self. So you remain with yourself, with self. And remember too, even a dream, when you first wake up from a dream and you're in that kind of little foggy state, it is tough to not think that the dream was true.
Yes.
Because of identification with the body form, this needs desperately for you to know yourself. And it is a lot easier to know yourself and in a moment the body form is dissolved rather than go through the whole neti-neti process and try to dissolve the body or try to fight the ego. Say, oh, I'm not going to have any thoughts except that one that I just had, but that doesn't count. I'm going to be very quiet. Like the silent retreats. Before Maharaj, I used to see people and they're like, I'm going to the weekend for the silent retreat. We're all going to be silent. But this is not silence. I'm not talking and I'm just, but what's going on in here? No, no, no.
Yes.
And that's why Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj says, leave the mind alone. Mind is going to do what it does. You just concentrate on I am. You concentrate on your own selfless self. You concentrate on yourself. That's why you don't have to renounce the renouncer. There's nothing to renounce. You could say, oh, I'm a spiritual man, and I'm going to renounce this. I'm going to renounce all my money. I'm going to renounce my house. I'm going to renounce everything and go live in the woods. But then, number one, there's an egoistic concept of look what I've done with spirituality. And after some time, this ego flow of thoughts is going to say, why, after renouncing all this stuff, am I not realized? Like I've done everything I'm supposed to do. What? That's even in the Bible, it talks about the people who they went out and they were all very grateful. Well, like the Egyptian, when they escaped Egypt, and everybody was so happy, oh, praising God, praising God. Then after just a short while, they were complaining about some such thing. And this is to show that ebb and flow of mind. It's like, oh, yes, I praise everything, and I'm going to renounce and give all this away and do spirituality, and oh, but it's not working fast enough. But rather than all of this, just remain with yourself. Here I am. I sit in the meditation, spend some time with you. Your true nature, so that I am that. Just die, just die. Spiritual intoxication. And whether this is here or not, I am. And that's when Maharaj says, okay, this body is labeled John. Once you know yourself in a real sense, you don't have to go around saying, I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman, or I am the formlessness, or I am selfless self, or any of this. Now you know. The conviction is, oh, I am that. Oh, so that I. Now, go do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities. Because it's just a dream.